And we are back, and we are the Run Duo. I am Tommy.
What's up, y'all? It's India. Happy 2024.
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year, y'all.
I hope everybody made it through the new year safely. I hope nobody was caught out there, had to spend any jail time because they drunk driving or anything like that.
My reasons why I don't be on the roads exactly. For the New Year's.
Mm-hmm. I hate being out on the New Year, but I was out. We went to a friend's house that also had kids. So okay. We all kind of, you know, hung out and that kind of thing. So, but it's still, you know, we didn't start coming home till like 3 a.m. I hate it, honestly. Because, I mean, yeah. You know, at that
point. I
would have
just been like, give me a room. Give me a look. I wake up early in the morning. Like, give me like 3 more hours. I wake up like 7 and go home. Yeah, that's why I don't go out on New Year's. Because I'd be so paranoid on the roads. Because people really be out
here.
Yeah,
they don't live far. So that was a good thing. You know, they don't live far from us. I mean, compared to like the other people that were there. Like, there are people that had to go like from like where I live. Down into the city, you know, that kind of stuff, which, you know, yeah. If we lived in the city and had come out here, then I'd probably be like, let's lay it on down.
Yeah.
But anyway, what you do? Anything fun?
No. So we usually don't do anything New Year's, not only because of safety, but also Coco, our dog, our bulldog, does not do well with fireworks. Mm-hmm. So we usually don't do anything on New Year's. We just relaxed, napped. Braxton and I always do our New Year. What are we doing as a couple? What are things we need to tighten up on? What are things that goals that we have? Reflecting on the goals that we didn't do the previous year. More so just things that we know we need to really tap into. So we always typically have dinner and have that type of conversation of what we need to be looking at for the new year and what are we trying to do as a couple moving forward. So we did that, but nothing outside of that excitement.
Oh, that excitement. I gotcha. Yeah. Well, that's great. Look, you made it in safely. So that's all, you know, it's always a blessing. Always a blessing.
I think I was barely staying awake. We watched the New York broadcast of New Year's.
Times Square.
That was it. I don't know if I told this story, but my supervisor at work went 2 years ago to New York for New Year's. And she was telling us how the whole show of New York is really a scam. Like when you're physically there, it's not the same. She was talking about how crowded it is. You have to stay in one spot. No eating, no drinking. Like you have to really like sneak and eat and drink stuff. Yes, a whole thing. And when they have the excitement, like how people be cheering and stuff on camera, that's literally like 1, 2, 3, go, cheer. And then they cheer for like 10 seconds and then it goes quiet again. She was like, the hype that they make it seem like it looks like in New York during that time is not really it. So it's funny because now we'll be watching on TV. I'm like disappointed because I know that it's not real. And she was explaining how when they do, you know how they do the whole confetti thing when it's the clock strikes midnight. Mm-hmm. She said, you'll see people dumping confetti out of these windows. Like they have these windows at hotels in the area and the wind or whatever just takes it so it disseminates. Yeah. But it's not like, it's not what you think it is, basically. And all the entertainment and stuff that you watch on TV, she said that stuff is very brief, is very curated for TV only, and it's not what the vibe is the whole time. So
I gotcha.
Very interesting. So for anybody that wants to spend the money to go to New York and obtain that experience, she really felt like it was a waste. So
I mean, years and years and years ago, I was in New York for New Year's. I didn't actually go. We didn't go. We were in Times Square before they started gathering. We were in Times Square. We went to get something to eat.
Yeah.
And the person that we were hanging out with that was from New York, that's what they were telling us too.
Okay. It's a scam. We were like, you don't want to
come
do down. It.
You know, like, should we come back? They're like, man, no, let's go to this party. You don't want to. Yeah. It's not even worth it.
It's not what you think it is. Yeah, there's no chairs. You're not sitting down. They tell you have to be out there super early in the morning and you're there for hours and they don't allow you to bring like food and drinks in certain areas. Like, it's just a whole thing. So. Not to squish anybody's bubble if that may have been planned for it next year, but just to let you know, she was very underwhelmed.
Well, you know, they've canceled, I guess, officially canceled the peach drop. Like, I guess we're not doing that anymore.
No.
I never went. I always said 1 year I was going to go get a hotel room where I could look over it. I didn't really want to be down in the crowd, but I never did it. But yeah, they, I guess the mayor was like, look, we spend way too much money to do this.
Other things can be done.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm, it was not that big a deal.
Yeah. Yep. So yes, that is correct. No more peach drop. Lennox didn't set up their big tree this year for Christmas. That usually happens. Mm-mm. And there's usually fireworks and situations going on with that. That didn't happen. So the city is transitioning. The city is transitioning. Some of the exciting things that used to happen, they used to be free holiday things, didn't go down this year. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. I don't know if it's unfortunate because honestly, I've never been to any of that. So did you ever go to Centennial Park for the 4th of July? Have you ever done that?
Yes.
You've done that?
Fireworks is my thing. I love fireworks. So I used to go to Centennial. We used to go to Lenox because Lenox used to also do fireworks then for the 4th. And then, of course, before I was woke, I used to go to Stone Mountain to watch the fireworks. So.
Oh, they had Stone before you were woke. Shut up.
I really understood why those people were still itched into the... into the side of Stone Mountain that needs to be corrected, as well as their show, their laser show needs some editing.
Really?
I've never been to that.
Yeah. So what does their laser show look like?
All the Confederate stuff and all that stuff still in there. Yes.
I might go just to see if it still got it.
Just recently, if it's not still hanging, Stone Mountain still had a Confederate flag at the top of the mountain. Like, it was not, it's,
trying to think.
But you know, it also is, and I know we're totally off, this is what we do though, we just off topic. But, so, you know, the KKK also used to have, they still have their rallies and stuff in Stone Mountain. Mm-hmm. So, like, for me, I've been woke for several years, but, like, I would not patronize Stone Mountain. So, I will go to the mountain, but I would not pay $10, $15 to get in. I'm not going to give money to the park. I know how to go park at the police station, which is not far, and I know how to walk into the park without paying. But that's just my way of not patronizing the park, because I still feel like there's some, like, political stuff that needs to be corrected at the park. But it's a lot of us out there. I grew up in Stone Mountain, but at the same time, I didn't know at that time what was really, what was being
when
good.
When I was a young lad in college, and I used to come and visit my friends at Morehouse and Clark.
Yeah.
Stone Mountain is a place you didn't go. You don't go to Stone Mountain.
Yes.
But Stone Mountain is the first place I lived.
Yes.
When I moved here in the 90s, 96. And I mean, if it was a different way one time before, Stone Mountain, for those of you who don't know about Stone Mountain, Stone Mountain black. It's us. It's all us.
Now, but it's still happening over there.
I mean, I'm sure, but it's the same thing here in Tucker. In Tucker, there's this cafe that's on Main Street. And I mean, you know, I don't know anything about the history, but they say the KKK used to meet there. So I know black people who
won't
go there.
Please tell me which one it is, because one of my friends was just talking about a cafe on Main Street, and she was saying, because she loves to go to visit different coffee shops and stuff, and like, you know, just spend her days.
I'll tell
there.
You off air. I don't want to, you know.
You know, it's
I ain't trying to be all in the middle because somebody be like, no, they don't. No, they don't. But I just know somebody said it once to me. Okay. Hey, I don't go there because they used to let the KKK. But my mind is like this. Dude, as somebody who grew up in the South, trust me, the KKK met everywhere. You probably don't want to go to McDonald's, because I'm sure the KKK met. I mean, that's just what it was. And things have changed.
And I'm pretty sure history-wise, anywhere that we live, in a majority of the places that we still do things, that type of history is there. Like, I definitely don't deny it. But I will say that there definitely are places, you and I talk all the time, even especially about the running community, that there are places here that we are very fortunate in our running community that when we go out for races and runs, it's black people. Like, it's very rare that we don't see people. It's a family reunion for us. We always going to see at least 10, 15, 20 people that we know. And you're not going to feel, we don't feel out of place. Not saying the other runners don't feel out of place. But we, Tommy and India, don't necessarily feel out of place because we have been wrapped up in the Atlanta running community for so long to where we do know a decent number of people. Mm-hmm. But I think that within that, that doesn't mean that places that we go has not in history, prior to us being in college, prior to us being born, has Atlanta, Atlanta has a lot of civil rights history. It has a lot of that. Things that they were debunking that we would probably never go to some of those places. Even places when I was a little girl, because I grew up in Atlanta, places that are exciting to live. And you're like, oh, I live in Brookhaven now. And I'm like, do y'all realize back in the day, that was the worst place to live? Like, Brookhaven, which was Chambly and that whole Doraville, all that area, it was the... what people would consider like the hood in the ghetto now was a lot of gang activity and all that. Now it's like the best place to live. You bougie if you live in those areas. And so it's just kind of one of those things where I guess you have to think about that. But I personally acknowledge that there's still current activity here in 2024, current activity that takes place that I will not frequent in. And I feel like Stone Mountain is kind of one of those places I will go, but I still feel like behind the scenes, there's some things that probably still go on that we probably should not be patronizing them. So that's my little take.
So anyway,
I got some conversations to talk about.
Have you ever done a workout on your Garmin? Like, have you ever put in gone on Garmin Connect and typed in a workout and done it?
Like a running workout?
Yeah. You have?
Yeah.
See, I've never done that. Heather did it.
Really?
Yeah. You know what? I might have done it on my first Garmin like years ago, and it didn't work out the way I thought it would. So, Heather does the Hal Higdon thing, and Hal Higdon will say tempo run, and he'll tell you like paces and everything and how long. He does speed work and all that. But Heather had never done it. She would just see the mileage and just run that mileage, but wouldn't worry about pace and all that. Right. So finally she said, earlier today, hey, okay, so Hal Higdon, because I do the speed ladder and all that. I do all that. But I don't put a workout in. I just figure out, okay, what do I need to set my watch to alert me to change my pace or whatever? But she actually put one in and she was like, it alerted me when to switch pace. It told, and if I was over the pace or under the pace, it alerted me. I didn't know it did all that.
Yeah. You can go in and build your workouts inside the app. So I think when I first started using it, when I personally had a coach prior to me getting my coach's certification, when I had a coach, I used it for that. And then when I started coaching, I would teach some of my clients how to use it for that. So, it would give you the notification. You could click whatever, you can set whatever buttons you want to set so that you can click for next rep or whatever it is for next lap, whatever the situation is that you want to use. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely have used it. Now, do I use it often? Of course not right now, but I have used it in the past.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was very enamored with it.
I think there's a lot of hidden things probably in a lot of our gadgets that we just don't use because, I mean, for us, we're just like, all right, can it calculate our mile and our pace and maybe our calories and how many steps and you go from there. I think when, once you become a hybrid athlete, you may track more data, but definitely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you do anything for MLK? Anything good? Anything? Are you chilled out and did what I did?
I relaxed. I got a couple naps in and I went out to lunch with one of my good friends. So
you were off. You guys were off for
MLK? Oh yeah. We were off. I'm very happy that we were off. Yeah. Braxton went. Of course, he's an alpha, so he had all of his community service stuff that he did on yesterday. So he did a march and went to his a speaker symposium thing for MLK. So he went and did his volunteer duties as an alpha man.
Okay. So. Well, I went, I had to take the day off. We weren't automatically off. They give us like a celebration
floating holiday
day
type thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
That you get, if you want to take it, whatever. But also the main reason, cause I probably would have worked, but, the kids are off. Yeah. And so somebody got to,
daycare.
Somebody got to. Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So actually I took Trey and Jasmine to the Sky Zone that's over here in Tucker.
Okay.
But I ran into I'm literally, I don't know if you've seen me really dealing with Trey. You know, he's running, he's ripping, I'm trying. And this guy goes,
he a busy bee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This guy goes, do you do a podcast?
Oh.
Yes. Now, sir, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I think his name was Rob. Okay. I could be wrong, but he says, I listen. He had three kids and his wife were there doing the same thing I'm doing, you know, just trying to give some of the kids to do while they're out of school. And him and I kind of talked about, you know, how your running changes when you have kids, you know, kind of stuff. But it was really, because, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, that's, I was surprised he recognized me. Honestly, I really think he might have recognized Trey or somebody more than he actually recognized me. But
You know what? You'll be surprised how people recognize your voice. Because I've been places and I've said something, they're like, your voice sounds very familiar. And I'm like, really? But I think that it's also, I guess, probably me and your, I don't want to call it naiveness, but I just don't think that we realize how people really do pay attention to us. I think we just kind of like, we just do our thing and we hope that we reach in people, but we don't really like study you know what I'm saying? We don't study it and like, you know, really go hard on that piece. Whereas some podcasters are very vigilant about their audience
constantly,
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think for us, we, you know, there are certain times during the year that we do check on it. And, you know, if we're doing sponsorship episodes, we do have to pump out some like, what's the word? Stats or criteria or something. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you know, we don't stalk our, you know, audience like that. But I think for me, I still do. We've been doing it since 2018. Anytime somebody's like, oh, I know who you are. You do the podcast. And I'm always still like, oh.
Okay. Yeah, that's a.
Still. But yeah. So.
It definitely surprised
me. Thank you to that young man.
Yeah. In that situation, it was really. Because, you know, I'm like, I can understand that a race. But when I'm just like, you know, I'm with my, you know, it was just like
you in daddy mode. You're in a whole exactly other mode. Like, oh, your mind's not thinking about running. You're not thinking about any of that. Yeah.
Well, that's good. But hello. Thank you for listening. I told him thank you. But yeah, thank you for listening, sir. I do really appreciate it. Also, I want to say some happy birthdays. Mark Monroe, friend of the show. He is a captain for Black Men Run, as well as he is a ambassador for Atlanta Track Club, as well as a happy birthday to David Henry, who also is an ambassador and does all kinds of other stuff in the running community here in Atlanta. Happy birthday, guys.
Yes. Happy birthday to you all. Speaking of Atlanta Track Club, are you ready? I'm excited about Publix. I don't know why. I feel like the last couple weeks they've been really pushing the advertisement of the Publix Atlanta Marathon Weekend, which of course, you know, we did speak about that on our last episode. But I'm excited. This is the first year that they're doing a half marathon. You can choose which distance you do on the half marathon, not which distance, Lord Jesus. You can choose which route that you do on the half marathon. And I just think that is really cool that they're allowing that to take place, because it's just kind of like, you know, which landmarks do you want to pass for your half marathon? So like, for instance, the first half, if you choose the first half of the half marathon, you get to pass by MLK, MLK National Historic Park, Little Five Points Freedom Park, Piedmont Park, Georgia Tech, Georgia Aquarium, Georgia Hall of Fame, and Centennial Olympic Park. And if you do the second half of the marathon, you'll be able to pass by Zoo Atlanta, Central Park, which is the stadium downtown where Georgia Tech plays, the Olympic Ring, Summer Hill, Cheney Stadium, Georgia State, Morehouse, and Spelman. So I just feel like it's really great that they really highlighted those different landmarks. I know that they're typically that weekend, we do have people that fly in to do the Publix race. It's kind of the Georgia race to knock off if you're wanting to do a half or a marathon within the state of Georgia. But if you're wanting to do the half, you get to be able to choose which landmarks you want to run by. So I think that's pretty cool. And I'm looking forward to that. And of course, looking forward to it being in a new place, a new start and finish, which is a Home Depot backyard. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. That will be great. And also, I guess you can run a relay now for the,
like
somebody can run the front half, someone run the second half. Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I like that, because that opens it up to more people that may, you know, maybe don't want to run a full.
Right.
But they want to be involved in something, you know, so, and then couples could do it, you know, that kind of thing. So they do it next year, maybe me and Heather will do it. I'm not ready for it this year, but maybe next year, year we'll do that.
That is exciting. But, definitely looking forward to that. I'll be out volunteering on Sunday. I think I signed up to help with the elites do something. I always try to volunteer. I do a lot. For people that have not seen me on the pavement, I'm at the races. I'm volunteering. Like, that's just something that I do. I always stay active within the community, but I am volunteering. So on Sunday for the marathon, I will be volunteering there. I'm doing something with the elites, and I try to always switch up my volunteer spot to get different experiences. Mm-hmm. So I'll be doing that on Sunday. I have yet to sign up for the 5K, but I may do that. Probably I'll make a decision on that soon.
Yeah.
But I'll probably definitely run the 5K on Saturday. So,
well, yeah, we'll be out there Saturday for Trey to run his dash, but I don't know if either one of us is actually, I think Heather's thinking about running one of them, something. She's thinking. Okay. So we might be out there cheering again.
Awesome.
As well. So, but great race, great weekend. Fun times. Like you said, new starting spot. I like the, Home Depot backyard. Mm-hmm. I like that area, so it should be nice.
Yeah, it's good to be able to entertain and do those things. So that little area, like you said, it's just a big area right next to the Benz Stadium, which is really good to be able to get that site. Some people would be excited to be able to be right there by the stadium because you can get some good photo opportunities. And be able to see different things there. So good luck to everybody that's doing that. And it also, if anybody is running the Jerome Scales 5 mile or 5K this weekend, I hope to see you all out there. I am signed up to be there. We'll see how the weather holds up, but I am signed up to be at that race. Of course, that race is a race that is in memory of our good friend, Tommy and I's good friend, Jerome Scales. He passed away some years ago. And he was a beloved member of Atlanta Track Club. He was on the board. He did a lot of work with Atlanta Track Club. So they did name a race after him. So, and that is the Jerome Scales. They have changed it to a 5K and a 5 miler. Back in the day, it was an 8. I think it was an 8K. It was like a very different. Yeah, yeah, but it is put on by Atlanta Track Club and South Fulton Running Partners. So definitely check that race out. If you are a member of Atlanta Track Club, that race is actually free for you this weekend. So if you're needing to get some miles in, need some accountability, that race is there for you. Of course, there is no medal with that one, but it's good to be able to see people and get some accountability miles out there. So definitely check that out.
Is that part of the...
Grand Prix.
Yeah, it's part of the Grand Prix. Mm-hmm. So you can get Grand Prix points. There you go.
Yes. Yes. So come on out. Get your workout in. So...
Exactly. I did see online they had a practice run down in Orlando.
A lot of people have been down trial. There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. I tried to see if I saw anybody I recognized. I did not. They interviewed some runners that I was not familiar with. But looks like from what the runners that they talked to said, it's a nice flat course. I'm sure if any of them ran Atlanta, that's the first words that's come out of their mouth is, flat.
In comparison, right?
Yeah, in comparison to, you know, when they ran here. And basically, I guess the main thing they're worried about is the weather. Is it going to be too hot? That's another thing that they're worried about. But sounds like everything's going well down there in Orlando. They had the Houston marathon and half marathon. And as usual, a young lady set the American half marathon record. It's been like... I want to say 3 years now with this year that an American has set, a female American has set the American record. Dang, I'm looking at the wrong thing here. Hold on a second. That a female has set the American half marathon record. A Moroccan won the actual marathon, but I apologize. I was looking at 2023. Let's see if I can find it. Hold on.
No, you're right on the half marathon. Wieni Kalati, 106.25 for the half marathon record. So yeah, definitely congratulations to her. I can imagine like 106 for a half. Like I'm just like, woo! They be rolling. But yeah, Houston is a good race to do. Typically a lot of PRs happen at that race. It's kind of similar to CIM where you see a lot of people go to that race and have some good outcomes for it.
Well, I mean, it's a flat course this time of year, is decent weather. Decent weather for that. Okay, yeah. So decent weather for it. And it's, you know, I thought there would be more people who are tuning up for the trials that might be running, but it doesn't seem like it. Galen Rupp was there. From what it said, it sounds like he wasn't really pushing it. He was just kind of tuning up. He came in 14th.
But Parker Stinson was there.
Yeah.
Some people that we follow and talk about often some people were definitely there. But again, like you said, more of a tune up and not a race.
Yeah, exactly. I want to talk about the Moroccan gentleman that won the marathon, because he won the marathon. He set the record, the course record for the marathon, but he's still trying to make the Moroccan Olympic team, because Morocco is another one that they don't have a race to confirm who makes the team. They basically, their Olympic committee pretty much just picks it, basically. Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he actually makes it. I mean, how are you not going to make it when you run a course record at a race?
Right. But you know, some people don't want to say it's a given. You know what I mean? Like, they want to be like, you know what, maybe. So,
well,
they
want to
secure the spot in other ways.
I think Houston is more, people go, like, the elites go more to run the half than the marathon. I don't think the marathon's a big race for Houston. I think it's the half.
More of a half.
And that might be why the course record could be broken, you know, so easily.
Yeah, it's more popular there. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that, you know, over the last couple episodes, we've been talking about the trials and like the dates and stuff of it. It's August 10th, the Olympic marathon, the actual Olympics is August 10th. The trials for the U.S. is February 3rd, but actual Olympics is August 10th. So I know that we've been discussing who's going to do these tight races. Are there any other people that's going to be running a marathon before the actual Olympics? But I think they have some time. It's not till August. So they have some months to kind of shake it out and figure it out and see what they want to do. I think majority of the people probably aren't going to they may be putting in some halves, but I don't see many people putting in like a marathon on the books prior to the Olympics.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either if they really want to win the Olympics. Now, on the men's side, I mean, are you going to win the Olympics? If you're not named Kipchoge, I don't know if you're going to win it. So,
Well, he has announced that he is going to be running Tokyo. So, that is exciting. So, on March 3rd, Kipchoge is going to be running the Tokyo Marathon. So, that's exciting to see. And of course, we're probably definitely going to be seeing him more than likely in the Olympics. But it is exciting that he's going to come out for another 26.2.
Yeah, that is. It looks like he's doing what he said. He's trying to, even though, I mean, he's run other world majors besides Boston. I'm sorry, Boston, London and Berlin. He's run other ones, but it looks like he's actually trying to show that he has no problem running, you know. He ran Boston. Now he's running Tokyo. He's making his rounds. I'm wondering if he's going to try to run Sydney at some point, now that they are, you know, looking like they're going to be a world major at some point.
Yeah, I definitely think that that's going to happen. We'll definitely see him coming up more. You know what? I feel like I don't know how many more years that Kipchoge has it in him to be as amazing as he is, but we definitely have some other people coming in behind them, ready to take that 2-hour breach, you know, kind of get underneath that 2-hour mark on a marathon. So we'll see what comes up in the next couple, I say for 2024, I feel like we're going to get really, really close again.
Yeah, I do too. You know, but even if somebody does it and it's not him, like say he's not the person that does it, he has to be the person that's inspired others that see that it can be done. You know,
yeah.
I mean, he's always going to be wrapped up in that story, just like, what's his name? I can't remember. The long jumper back in my day that was attempting to break the world record and never did, but eventually somebody else did. But he let people know, hey, it's possible. So it kind of expands your mind. It makes you think, hey, somebody can do it, and it can be me. And I think that's how Kipchoge, if he's not the person that actually does it, that's how he'll be thought of.
Yeah, and definitely, I know we talked about Skiptum is looking to do the Rotterdam Marathon, which is in April. So that, I know that he's trying to break it as well. If anything, I definitely see him sliding into that Kipchoge spot. I don't know. Like, I think that we might be sleeping. I don't think we're sleeping on him at all, but I feel like he is about to to open up some gates on his marathon.
The thing about Kipchoge is not that he's, you know, I mean, of course he's fast. Of course he's done all this stuff. It's consistency. Yeah, I mean, lately, yeah, he's had some, you know, here and there, some not so great, but it's consistency, because there's been a lot of challengers that have come up on Kipchoge and couldn't sustain it. They could show up for one or two races, but they can't sustain it over time. And I think that is the thing that you have to look at anybody that's coming up on him. Now, of course, you know, his world, you know, Kipchoge does not own the world record anymore. And I gotta think that's in the back of his mind.
You think he's not gonna retire until he finishes it up?
I mean, I'm not saying that, but it's gotta be in his mind, like, I wanna go out on top. I wanna go out, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know how flat Tokyo is. I don't know how flat, you know, Paris is, so we'll have to see.
All right. Well, just to give you all a heads up real quick, I like to start giving out some dates for y'all to think about for it. But for Tokyo Marathon is March 3rd. So if you want to add it into your calendar so you know to want to watch that on TV, the LA Marathon is March 17th. You have the Barcelona Marathon March 10th. You have the Roma Marathon March 17th. And of course, you have your Paris Marathon is April 7th. And then the Rotterdam Marathon that we were just mentioning is on April 14th. Of course, Boston is April 15th. London is April 24th. 21st. So those are just some marathons that you may want to be thinking about. And of course, Tommy just mentioned the Sydney Marathon that a lot of people are going to be trying to go to because it's going to be potentially an additional star or an additive to the six star of the World Majors. That is actually in September. September 15th, 2024 is the week or so before Berlin. So just a heads up on some of those marathons. And I just named those marathons because they're some of the bigger marathons that a lot of people are looking out for. A lot of your big names go to some of those marathons as well. So those are just some of the big ones to think about. And if you want to watch some on your not local TV, but if you want to subscribe to some TV channels to be able to watch the marathons, those are some you may want to look out for.
Exactly. All I can say, all I got left is, hey, if you live in Atlanta, it's going to be cold.
Yes.
Wrap up. Don't be out there and get exposed and, you know, we find you frozen because,
literally
Friday and Saturday are in the teens in the mornings. So just be prepared.
Yes.
They said we might get some snow, but we didn't, of course. We never do.
Yeah, and they shut down the city today and
kids home and then closed schools. Trey, like,
you looking outside like, it's bright outside. Can I go outside?
Exactly. No. Exactly.
No, but yeah, definitely bundle up. It's Atlanta cold. It's not New York cold, but it's Atlanta cold for sure. We're not used to anything below 30s. I'll just say that. Yeah. So anything below 30s, the city shuts down. And that just is what it is. So,
well, you know, every time it gets cold, Heather starts beating the drum for that Peloton treadmill. Every time it gets cold, see, that's why I need a treadmill. Mm-hmm. There's 20 treadmills across the street of the gym. Gone.
Yes. No, I feel you. Yes. Well, I just to give you all a heads up, the next things that you all will see me at is this weekend. I will either be volunteering or out doing the race for the Jerome Scales 5 mile or 5K. I'll be doing the 5K. I will definitely be out there. And then my typical Galentine's Day race on the February 10th, I'll be out doing that race, emceeing that race. So if you are running that race, that is that day. And unfortunately, the Atlanta Union Mission is the same day as that race. So you have to pick your poison on which one of those you want to participate in. But I'll definitely be out there for that. And then you may be seeing me a little bit for the Publix Atlanta Marathon. So we'll see. We got some things lined up. And I'm looking forward to the next couple months being out in the race scene.
There you go. So now, India, if they wanted to contact you to discuss your wokeness, how would they get into it? Oh, they want to know what you know about Stone Mountain. What's going on, girl? If you want to talk about that or anything else, how would they contact you?
Well, you can hit me up at probably my email at milesfromindia@gmail.com. Or if it's a business venture, contacts at milesfromindia.com. My Instagram is iofindigoruns. I will be back over there, don't know when, but at some point, but definitely hit me up there. But if you see me out in the city, holla at your girl. And say hello. And if you listen to the podcast, definitely say hello for sure.
Exactly. You can hit me up at Thomas W. Mitchell, the number 2@gmail.com, or at tmitch68 on Instagram. All right. All right. Well, happy new year, everybody. Hopefully we'll be seeing you out on this pavement. I got to get my running back going for the year. And we will see you in a couple of weeks.
All right.